Chapter 13. Hours later, we emerged. The effects passed more slowly than usual, indicating we had gone a very great distance indeed, perhaps beyond the range of normal particle reconciliation. There might be dilation effects when we returned. I stood alone in the command center, looking out across the tremendous dim whirlpool of a galaxy, and called up a chart to see where we were. Spirals and grids spread quickly. At least this was our home galaxy. The ship was in a long, obscure orbit, high above the galactic plane, tens of thousands of light years from any feasible destination. I moved through the ship, seeking the didact. He was just a few decks down, in a medium-sized storage bay, separate from the larger weapons bays. Here, the war sphinxes had arranged themselves in their characteristic ellipse, each gripped by a gleaming hard light buffer. I watched him from behind a pressure arch that swept across the broadest dimension of the hold. He seemed to be speaking to an assembled group, like a commander addressing his warriors.
"I've never been naive enough to believe following duty led to glory, or experience elevated one to wisdom among forerunners," he said, his deep voice echoing through the chamber. "My young ones, I wish you were truly still here to counsel me. I feel weak and isolated. I fear what I will find when I walk among builders again. Their rule brought us to this impasse. What we learned long ago from the humans."
He saw me behind the arch, then stretched up his thick arm and gestured for me to join him. I did so. The didact was alone with his war sphinxes. I saw no others. "Why have we traveled so far?" I asked.
"Multiple slipspace journeys can be tracked by core authority if the journeys are rational. This is not a rational journey. For several more jumps, we will now be harder to track."
The didact walked around the interior of the ellipse, touching one sphinx, then another.
"These contain what is left to me of my warriors from long ago."
"They're Dorances?" I asked. Beneath my armor, my skin crawled at the memory of a sphinx upbraiding me, telling me to suck it up, and my intuition that there was something more than an Ancilla within. Riser had felt it too.
"No. Warriors do not observe the niceties, as you may have noticed, Manipular. In battle, our dead are seldom in any condition to have their complete essences harvested. All I have left to me are the final interactions my children had with their machines, fleeting samples of their thoughts and memories before they were killed in action, kept to be studied by their commander to see what can be learned for future battles. I was their commander, as well as their father. I have never had the heart to erase them."
"Do they still offer you their opinions?" I asked, regarding the sphinxes with a shiver.
"Some judgment remains," he said, looking down upon me.
He laid a big hand on my shoulder.
"You are not such a fool as you make yourself out to be. If I asked you what I should do," he said, "how would you answer?"
This caught me in a vice of contradictions. "I would think long and hard," I replied. "I have not the knowledge."
"The librarian selected you and imprinted the humans. She seems to think you can help. And despite our many disagreements, I have rarely found her to be wrong."
He struggled inwardly for a moment, features flashing anger and sadness, confusion, then resolve.
"My tactics before the Builder and Warrior Councils were too blunt, my politics far too direct and naive. The librarian was always correct. That is not easy to admit."
A chorus of voices rose from the sphinxes, etched and hollow. I could understand only a few chopped phrases. They're out there, waiting. Thousands of years wasted. The solution was lost, Father. Lost. If what the old ones made is loose... I stepped away from the ellipse, terrified. The sphinxes fell silent. The didact stood among them, shoulders bowed. Who were they? I asked, suddenly feeling that here was much more than a commander and his dead soldiers.
These were our sons and daughters, the librarians and mine,
the didact said.
They became warriors and served in my fleets. They died in battle, all of them.
I did not know what to say or do. His grief was palpable.
Their final communications, their last commands and patterns and memories stored in these machines are all I have left. All that matters to me personally other than my oath, my duty. But I need help, more than they can even begin to give. The librarian chose you to help me, but how?
For a moment he seemed lost, as if unable to decide which course came next, oddly indecisive for a Promethean. Then he asked a non sequitur question.
The humans. How much time did you spend with them, observing, before we left Erdi Tyrene?
10 days, I answered.
Do they still have their honor?
Yes, I said, without hesitation.
She's testing me, my wife, isn't she?
I know very little about the librarian. The didact waved that off.
You'll never know her the way I did. She possesses a sense of humor rare in all forerunners and impossible to find in warrior servants, or in most builders. It would be like her to summon me from my peace and set me this challenge.
What does she want you to do?
When I served as commander-in-chief of Forerunner forces, I always had the support of an expert staff, dozens of fellow Prometheans, each backed by the very finest ancillas of long military experience. I'm not used to working alone, Manipular. I think better with a staff. But what she has given me, a Manipular and 2 humans, one of them docile and very small?
Reiser was not all that docile. The little Florian had bitten the didact, but I did not contradict him.
To reach full efficiency, a Promethean staff shares most or all of the commander's knowledge. It's a tradition of long standing.
He extended his armored hand. A dark red field spread along his fingers, as if the hand was dipped in glowing blood. Here was something completely unexpected, frightening even. I am not your equal, I objected. I have not your experience.
You saw what happened on Chatham Hakor and Fawn Hakor. Your ancilla will help you absorb my knowledge. You have only to ask, and you will know all that I know.
Simple enough. The ancilla would absorb that knowledge, and I could study it at leisure. I hesitated, then extended my own hand. As I did, I saw the red field grow around my own fingers. The ancilla appeared in the back of my thoughts, not blue, but red as blood, and hungry. I had never felt the true unfettered instinct, I might say passion, of an ancilla to gather knowledge. Our fingers touched. He folded my much smaller hand in his own.
Close your eyes,
he suggested.
Less disorienting that way.
I closed my eyes. Sometime later, I lost track of time, but it might have been hours or days. I opened them again. My armor tingled against my skin. I felt hot inside, almost burned. The sensation slowly diminished, but I was still having difficulty focusing. The didact wavered before me, little more than a shadow. I tried to access my ancilla. She appeared in mingled red and blue with an off-axis quiver. Did it work? I asked. I don't feel very good. The ancilla seems broken, disconnected.
It did not work,
the didact said, pulling back his hand. Only minutes had passed.
It's too much for a manipular. I should have known. Only a first form might be capable of absorbing so much.
Then what can I do? What's left for me? The didact did not immediately respond.
Go tend to the humans,
he finally said.
We will travel again soon.
In their cabin, the humans appeared to be either asleep or absorbed in the librarian's gaze. I could not tell which. Their eyes were closed and they lay curled beside each other. I decided not to interrupt. Judging from my own recent experience, there was a hard kind of cruelty in subjecting them to so much information so rapidly, from both inside and out. I wondered if they would emerge sane or anything remotely like their past selves. The residual pain of the attempted transfer had left me miserable. Not even the armor could immediately dissipate my discomfort. Worse, the armor's ancilla deeply resented being overloaded. For now, she seemed to blame me rather than her own greed for knowledge. I acutely felt her broken pulses of disapproval. I lay down beside the humans, then rolled over on the desk, clutching my helmet and gritting my teeth. Reiser stood over me, chittering his concern. "Did he hurt you, the killer of humans?" he asked. A few steps behind, Shakus loomed as well, his face pale and unhealthy-looking. "They are changing. I am not." "No," I said, my thoughts slowly beginning to clear and my head to cease throbbing. "He asked for help. He offered me his training, his war subtlety, personal history." I simplified these concepts as best I could. Shaka shivered his shoulders and shook his head.
"Sounds stuffy. What if I go out there and spit on him?"
Reiser gave a low fasha. I had learned enough about the Florian's expressions to see that he was up for this assault if Shaka's was. "He fears you," I said. "Well, he respects you. No, that isn't it either. He remembers what you once were and what you did. You killed his children in battle."
"Us, personally?" Shakus asked, doubtfully. "I don't remember that."
"Our ancestors," Reiser observed, squatting. "Back when your people and mine were the same."
"You've been learning from your Gaius," I said.
"And from the little blue woman," Reiser said. "But I will not marry her. You are right about that."